I want to fully embrace the me God made me to be. I want to be God's best version of me. The road to becoming the me I want to be runs through your head. We've got to monitor our thinking, fix our thoughts. What's feeding your mind? Finally, free your brain space.
Lord God, we thank you that you do not hide from us when we seek you. When we come running towards you, Lord Jesus, you are there waiting with open arms. God, we know that our worship isn't about the words that we're singing or the songs that we're singing, Lord God, or the way our voice sounds, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we know that it's more than that. We know that our worship is about the posture of our hearts. It's about our focus. We know that it's all about you. Lord, some of us have carried some very heavy burdens into this place. Some of us have very heavy hearts. But God, we know that you see all of that stuff, and we trust you with it. And so we lay all of that down at your feet right now, and we fix our minds, our hearts, and our souls on you, our Creator, our Father.
So we started into this series last week called The Me I Want to Be, God, Becoming God's Best Version of You. We talked about what did you want to be when you grew up, and then I gave you that answer to the quiz, the little cheat to the test. If I ever ask you again, what do you want to be, or who do you want to be? I'm sorry. The answer is, I want to fully embrace the me God made me to be. I want to be God's best version of me. You don't look around the room and decide you want to be someone else. There may be someone else that seems to have their act much more together than you, and yet we don't look to be someone else. God made you, God put you here, and he wants you to be the very best version of you. I was sent a quote during the week by Robert Browning, the English poet. He wrote, My business is not to remake myself, but make the absolute best of what God made me. We're not about remaking ourselves, becoming someone else. We're becoming the very best version of who God made us. I want to read some lines to you right now. Would you listen closely to them, and then I'll explain why I'm reading them. The way I live will inevitably reflect and be a reflection of the way I think. Let me read that again. The way I live will inevitably be a reflection of the way I think. True change always begins in our minds. And the good news is that God can always change the way we think. In fact, he wants to transform you into a new person precisely that way. The Apostle Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What makes people the way they are? What makes you, you, is mostly the way you think. So becoming the best version of you rests on one simple directive. Think great thoughts. People who live great lives are people who habitually think great thoughts. These are the opening lines of the DVD presentation that many of you will be watching tonight, the 10 minutes by John Ortberg, as he dives a little bit more into our topic today of renewing our minds. I'm telling you, if you are looking to truly be changed, If you buy into what we're saying, that life change is what we're all about, true life change doesn't happen from just changing your emotions. I mean, the fact is, my emotions, I can be an emotional mess, and yet life can be really good. And there are times life can be lousy, but I feel really great. True change doesn't happen just by adjusting our emotions. True change comes by changing the way we think. Now, that's not just an Ortbergism. That's not just something out of his book. That's straight from the Bible. In fact, our sermon in a sentence today, if you can read this, it says, the road to becoming the me I want to be runs through your head. You want to be the me God wants you to be? It happens right here. It's all about what's happening in your mind. God has a power-filled, life-changing verse, and I want to encourage you to commit it to memory. And you go, oh man, memorizing. I don't know if I can do that. I could ask you right now sports stats from 1947 and you could spout them out with no problem. We commit to our minds the things that matter to us. This verse is huge in the growth of every one of us. It's Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Get the next line. By changing the way you think. Then you will learn how what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God brings about change in us by changing our mindset, by changing the way we think. And I love what the verse says. It doesn't say, try to think differently. The verse says, God will be the one to transform you by Him helping to change the way you think. The way you think has a huge impact on who you are. And I promise you, some of the me you don't want to be is there right now because of the way you think. So what can we do to adjust our thinking? What can we do to change our thought patterns to become more like the best version of who God wants us to be? Well, it's going to start right here. We've got to monitor our thinking. You need to take the time to monitor your thoughts. Let me say it this way. How often do you take the time to think about what you think about? Have you ever done that? To just stop long enough and say, what am I thinking about? And why am I thinking about it? Why do I think that way? What happened in my life that causes me to automatically assume X, Y, or Z? We need to take the time to analyze, to understand why we think what we think. To actually go so far as to ask ourselves, what are my thoughts? What are the sentences I repeat to myself? Maybe if you were truthful, if we could hear what your head said out loud, lines like this would be there all the time. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I can't get anything right. I can't. I tell you what, as I've worked out with people, it's funny how many times somebody, as they're about to do something, what's their favorite line? I can't. I just can't do it. One of the lines that the trainers use, I love it. As you're coming to end of something you're doing, they say, come on, you can do anything for 10 seconds. And even that little line has worked into my mindset, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, 10 seconds isn't a lifetime. 10 seconds. Come on, wimp. Let's go. We got to change the way we think. What are your thoughts? What are the sentences you repeat yourself? What is the primary source of your thoughts? Where's your thinking coming from? Is your thinking coming from people in currently your life? Is it something your dad said to you 52 years ago and it's still drilled into your head? What is the source of your thoughts? Where are they coming from? Who am I with? What do they think? Is it possible that the crowd you're with influences your thinking? So you need to take some time to assess your thinking. Now, the cool part is sometimes there will be people in your life that will help you to assess it. Not necessarily that you ask them, tell me what my thoughts are, but they'll ask you, why do you think that way? I had a conversation yesterday with my oldest son. Brian's home from U of I, junior year, 21 years old, and it's fun to start having adult conversations with each other. And he asked me a question about sports, a great question. He said, Dad, why do you always assume your team is going to lose? Doesn't matter what sport you're involved in, you always assume your team is going to lose. So I had to go into a little bit of history. 1970, I'm in first grade. The Buffalo Sabres moved to town. Yeah, right, let's go hockey. By sixth grade, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. They played against the Philadelphia Flyers. They got clobbered. Do you know once since that time? Because what does every kid think? Well, they'll be back again next year, right? They'll be back again next year. Once since that time, they made it back to the finals. And they lost again. So I'm thinking, well, hockey's not my sport. I'll go for football, the Buffalo Bills. Now, those of you that know anything about football know that the Bills went to the Super Bowl four times and lost four consecutive Super Bowls in a row. But we had the privilege of being there. Blah! Forget that noise. No privilege. We lost! Well, we did have this one day. I have the t-shirt for it, actually. They had the greatest, in 1993, the greatest comeback in a game. I mean, it was pretty amazing. I was at church while it was going on. At half, they were losing 35-3 to the Houston Oilers. And by the end, we came back and won 41-38. Now you're thinking, well, the Bills have had some great years. They've had four great years. The rest of the time I've rooted for them, they have been absolutely horrid. So I thought, well, football's not my thing. I'll go for baseball. I didn't have a baseball team growing up. I get married. My wife says, well, let's root for the Cubs. I'm looking at the options. I'm like, well, red, white, and blue uniform be versus the color of sin, black. I'm like, yeah, let's go with you know, God Bless America, USA. So, all right, that works. Yeah, I get those in every once in a while. You need that. So anyway, so I'm watching. Now, it's funny because we had this great role reversal going on. My wife is sitting watching the game, and I'm going, 3 hours? Really? 3 hours? And then we watched it again the next day. 3 hours again, and then we watched it again the next day. I actually started going to my room to study Hebrew while she was watching baseball. It was so horrid. But it was 1989. Cubs did pretty well that year. I'm thinking, well, what's everybody complaining about? This is a good team. You know the rest of the story. So I'm thinking, all right, college is where it's at. I'll root for college teams. Go Illini. Okay, if you know anything about them, forget it. I finally decide I got to take matters into my own hands. Now, I'm not athletic, but I'm into the word fantasy. So I'm like, okay, I'll do fantasy football. 2001 was my first year. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was so confused. First 2 weeks, I didn't even set a lineup. I won the Super Bowl that year. I'm like, whoa, this is great. I love this stuff. Next year, not so good. The year after that, even worse. I think I won one other championship. This year, I thought, okay, I'm going to stack the deck a little bit. I played in a league with a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, two 16-year-olds, a 21-year-old, a guy who had never had a team before, and my cousin who thinks he knows everything, but he doesn't. So I've got these guys. I'm going against them. How do you think it turned out? I ended up fifth out of eight teams. Oh, let's add insult to injury. You know who won our league? A girl. A girl! A girl! Rachel Hershberger. Oh my gosh. So in the first service, I actually gave her her trophy today. I gave her some beef jerky because you got to have that. You're going to make her a flower, okay? One of those beaded flowers, because every fantasy league should have a flower that they give out as a trophy. And I gave her a jar of maraschino cherries because whenever you can beat Brian Papp in fantasy sports, that is the cherry on top of the sundae of your life. All this to say, when it comes to sports, there is a reason I assume my teams will lose. They do. They lose all the time. Now, here's the thing. As he's monitoring my thinking and as I'm monitoring my thinking, I got to be careful that I don't do what a lot of people do. I stink at sports, therefore I stink at life. My teams are cursed, therefore I'm cursed. You know, actually, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding about this. Last night I decided I'm going safe. I am rooting for New Orleans and Indianapolis this year. People are starting to pay me to root for the opposite team. I mean, it doesn't work that way. I've tried. You can start assuming because something's happened to me in this area of life, it happens to me in another area of life as well. You've got to monitor your thinking. Why do you think the way you think? And you've got to have a clear understanding of that, how it works. Now, here's the thing. You need to think about your thinking. It helps when other people make observations. But the truth is, we need God to help us in the process. I love this psalm. Psalm 139, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." You know the truth about most of us? We are incredibly self-deceived. We assign great motives to something, and if the truth were told, our motives stink. And so we pray to God, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. We talked last week about living in the flow of the Spirit. This is living in the flow of the Spirit. When I say, God, I need you to reveal to me even when I don't understand what my motives are. Even when I don't know the truth of the way I think. God knows your thoughts better than you know your thoughts. Romans 8, 5, and 6 say, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So let So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Who's controlling your mind? You've got to monitor it. You've got to understand it. So let's move from monitoring our thoughts. What's next? Well, we need to fix our thoughts. Now, I don't mean the fix that's come to your mind immediately. The fix that means fix what's broken. That's not the fix we're talking about. What we're talking about here instead is to focus, to set, to center, to have our minds stayed on something. We need to fix our thoughts. Do you consistently take that time to think about what you're thinking about? And if you're thinking about the wrong things, are you switching to think about the right things? We've got to get our minds focused on the right things, stayed on the right things. I'm told from sports, I did not play baseball, but I'm told from those that do, that if you fix your mind, if you focus your mind on not striking out, generally you'll strike out. If you focus your mind on not doing something, generally that's exactly the thing you'll do. I have a little confession. I have something that terrifies me, and that is getting people's names wrong. You're a pastor, you're supposed to know people's names, right? That's kind of important. You know, you can only get away with, hey, bud, so many times, and eventually they know you don't know their name. And it even terrifies me with people I've known for a while. There's this guy at work, his name, he's tall, blonde. Every once in a while, I'm like, what's that guy's name? He's married to Courtney. Help me, help me. I mean, I'm not kidding. People I know, I'll get this brain freeze about names. It's horrible with weddings and funerals. I mean, the last thing I want to do is get the, the whole time I'm staring at the names. Even people I've done counseling with, I've sat with, I let this brain freeze get there that I go, I'm going to say the wrong name. I'm going to get it messed up. So at the old church, on the front chair, when we'd do a baby dedication, we would put in huge letters the name of the mom, the name of the dad, the name of the kid. There it was. I couldn't miss it. I mean, some people in dedication must have gone, really? He doesn't know our name? No, it's not that I don't know it. I don't remember it. I don't remember names very well. So one time I'm like, I got to take the training wheels off. I just got to stop this. I get over this. It's time. I got to stop worrying about it. No name on the front this week. I'm flying. It was an easy name. It was kind of a different name. I'll get it right. So Tim and Courtney Barrowman bring their child on up to be dedicated. And I'm praying for him. God, help Hayden to grow up to be a godly man. Help Hayden with this and help Hayden with that. And the whole time Courtney's got this little smile going on her face. I'm like, oh, isn't this a sweet moment? And I walk to the back and someone tells me, his name is Braden. So what do you think that did? More than ever, I'm terrified about getting names wrong. And I'm so focused on not doing it wrong that I'll mix it up all the time. So all the guys in the room from now on, your name is John. All the girls, your name is Jane. That just makes it easy, right? No, it doesn't work that way either. When you focus on not doing something, you'll probably end up doing it. You got to have your mind focused on the right thing, on the positive thing. Here's what Paul says in Colossians 3, 1 to 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. He doesn't say, stop focusing on sinning. Don't do bad things. He says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He says, focus your mind, focus your attention on the right thing. Don't focus all your mind on not doing the wrong thing. Focus your mind on the right thing. Now, some of you are kind of going, okay, I've heard all this. You know, Dennis is just, he's starting to espouse this whole positive thinking thing. Let me tell you about some positive thinking. I think it's great to be positive. But if you're standing in the middle of Route 6 and you're going, I'm not going to get hit by a car, I'm so positive, the car is just as hard and it will kill you. All the positive thinking in the world won't change the facts. If something bad is coming at you, it's going to take you out of the game. That's the way it is. This isn't about positive thinking. It's about powerful thinking. It's about the kind of thinking that says, I am going to focus on the right thing. I'm going to fix my eyes on the right thing. I'm going to make sure that I'm keeping my head there, because as my mind is not negative, as my mind is not doing those things, that's the kind of person I start to become. I start to become the best version of me the person that God wanted me to be all along. By the way, about now, it was my full intention to take the Cubs jersey off for those of you that are just utterly offended by this and can't get beyond it because of all your Sox allergies and all that sort of stuff. But prior to church, I spilled coffee on my t-shirt, so I'm going to keep it on and slightly buttoned. All right. I love this. This is from the book. Excerpts from the Diary of a Dog. I won't read the whole thing, but here's how it goes. 8 a.m., dog food, my favorite thing. 9:30, a car ride, my favorite thing. 9:40, a walk in the park, my favorite thing. Catching the pattern here? I love the cat's diary at the bottom. Day 983 of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. The only thing that keeps me going is my dream of escape. What feeds your mind? Where is your mind fixed? Is your mind always fixed on how disastrous and horrible and awful life is? Or how good it could be? Where is your mind fixed? Part of fixing your mind, going hand in hand with that, is what you feed your mind. What you feed your mind. It's a companion. You can't fix your mind on something without feeding your mind. What's feeding your mind? Now, it's that time of year. Some of you have kind of pulled out the old diet book. You're going, okay, this year I'm getting the diet right. I'm going to pay attention to what's going into my body. I'm going to eat the right stuff again. I'll tell you what's far more important. Eating the right stuff mentally. Getting on the right mental diet. Eating the right stuff. What is it you're feeding your mind? I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we talk about this quite a bit. But I want to bring you back to a very familiar verse. Philippians 4:8. Look at the first three words. Say them with me. Go ahead. Fix your thoughts. You got it? Here we are again. Fix your thoughts on what? On what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And what do most of us fix our thoughts on? Everything but this list. We fix our thoughts on the junk. We fix our thoughts on what's going wrong, on the disasters. We feed our mind things that don't help us at all. If you want a healthy mind, you've got to feed it a healthy diet. And there's no better diet than right here. There's no better diet than the Word of God. Finally, free your brain space. Another way to put it, free your mind. I wonder, are you free? Is your brain free enough to think great thoughts? Or is your mind so filled with negativity and defeatism that there is no room for anything else? You've crowded all the good stuff out with all the junk. We need to free our brain space, free our minds of the junk. Think of some of the things that take up space in our minds. Worry and anxiety. I mean, if I were to just start right now and go around the room, tell me about the things you're worried about. We'd be here a long time. What wakes you up at 3 a.m? That's the thing that you're worrying about, right? It's there. You can't let it go. And because that's your focus, you have no room for good stuff in your head. Your head's constantly focused on the worries, focused on negativity, focused on it's always going to go wrong. I just know it's going to go wrong. I know it's going to be bad. And even when it goes well, you go, yeah, but. I tell you what, after a while, you take that approach to life, you find yourself with less and less and less friends. People don't like to be around people all the time that are always pointing out the gloom. How about the power of the past? Your head is always thinking about, if I had just done X, Y, or Z. And after a while, you realize you're talking about something that happened 25 years ago. But if I'd have just done this, if I'd have just done that, if this would have happened or that would have happened, then my life would have been okay. Or maybe the opposite. Someday thinking. Someday when we do this. Someday when we're here. Someday when I have this. Then everything will be okay. All this stuff crowds out the brain space that we have for good thoughts. I love this verse from Isaiah. Yet another one worthy of committing to memory. Isaiah 26:3. You, God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. Where's your mind? What are you focusing on? Your focus is going to determine who you are. I mean, it goes back to what Paul said. You've got to think the right way. Let God transform you by changing the way you think. Let me help you a little bit here as we wrap up this part of our time to just walk through some of the ways that you can best take advantage of the next few weeks as we do this study. How do you get the most out of this month? How do you get the most out of this all-church experience we're doing together, the Me I Want to Be? Well, the first, you've already done it. You're here. Continue to be here in January. You need this time where we talk about the basics of the topic of the week. This week we talked about renewing our mind, because renewing of your mind is going to help you to become the very best version of you. Second, I'd encourage you, if you want to read the book by John Ortberg called The Me I Want to Be on Amazon. It's under $14. It's not that expensive, and it's a great read. I promise you also the kind of read, you're going to go back and read it again. It's going to help you to be thinking great stuff. I don't know that this is going to be really visible. Hopefully it will. I scanned it for you. It gives you a breakdown, and we sent this, I believe, an email as well, a breakdown of what the weeks are and then the chapters that go with that. So like this week, on Sunday morning, and in our groups, we're focusing on part 3, renewing our mind, which is chapters 7 to 10. Next week, we'll be looking at part 4, redeeming the time, 11 to 14. So we'll make sure that that's sent out by email again so that you have that and you know which section to be focusing on. You're going, oh my word, there are already a bunch of chapters that I didn't read. That's okay. Get to the part we're on. Focus on the part we're on. Focus on this idea this week of renewing your mind. The next thing I want to encourage you to do, get to your journey group. It's inevitable that every time we have a journey group time, we have this mini session going on, these 4 weeks in January, that people sign up, they're psyched, and then they don't show up. Do it. Go ahead and show up. And I could go through all the reasons people don't show up. Let me give you one of the main ones. We have great intentions, but something gets in the way of our great intention. Maybe it's you are not a bubbly people person. And you sit in the driveway going, I don't want to walk in there. I don't know what's going to happen. I promise you, generally, nobody in our groups has been bitten by another human. That doesn't happen. Generally, people are friendly. And if they're not, tell them they're not. I don't know, but just get over that hump, okay? Go ahead and do it. I don't like entering strange situations either. We get this delusion. I think maybe Justin's the only one. You like strange situations, don't you? And outside of that, the rest of us quake in fear. So just jump through it. I've been in a few groups recently that people have said, it was the hardest thing to just come this first night. And 10 weeks later, they're saying, and I'm glad I came the first night. Jump through that. Get there. Then there are two other things that I think will help a lot. Along with the group book that you're reading, there's an assessment. It gives you a place to go online, take the assessment. 34 questions. Most of the answers are done not by words but by pictures. So it's pretty easy. You pick the picture. I mean, I love that part. Picture, boom, you got that. It's great. The assessment's pretty easy. Gives you an idea of some of the things we talked about last week. How are you wired? What's your personality like? Those things that help us to understand ourselves better. And the cool part is you can take it again. So if you take the assessment and you go, man, that wasn't quite me, you can take it again and see, was there something about the way I answered the questions that wasn't right? I actually took it like 4 times to see if I varied my answers, what would the result be? I refined sometimes, was a little bit more specific. But ultimately, I looked at my results and said, you know what? They've pretty much, with just 34 questions, they've pretty much figured out where I am. The final one I'm actually going to deal with in a week to come, and that is that they offer through this, and the church doesn't get a cut of it. They offer for, I think, about $20, the opportunity to basically take advantage of a virtual spiritual trainer. So you take the assessment that you've done, and they give you suggestions of things you can do in the 4 areas we're talking about. So things to do in renewing your mind, redeeming your time, deepening your relationships, and transforming your experience. And I've already been doing this now for better than a month. I think it's going on 2 months. It's been a great experience, suggesting different readings, different practices. One of the things they've done in the redeeming my time area is suggested some different ways to pray. giving me ideas of something that I've not tried before. They've given me suggestions on how to work on my relationship with my spouse and some things I'm trying there that have been really good. So some suggestions. You don't always have that human being in your life that can give you suggestions. Here's a virtual coach, someone that can come alongside you and help you to get some great ideas. So like I said, we'll be talking about that more in the weeks to come. Let's pray and talk to God right now. Father, we're grateful for your word and what it says about how we are changed. And that the change takes place when we are willing to allow ourselves to have our mind renewed by you. God, one of these areas has been plaguing us. We struggle with it, fixing our minds, feeding our thoughts. There's one that just stands out more than another. And I pray that you will help us to focus on that, to really get centered on it. And to see great change begin because of it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God, we thank you for today. Thank you for creating us and giving us life. We pray that our lives would be all that you have created them to be. Lord, speak to our hearts now and step on our toes. We pray that today we will be changed and challenged by your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I have a couple of updates for you, some things going on that I thought you'd want to know about, things going on in the life of our church family. Some of you have been asking about my sister-in-law still. A couple weeks ago, she and her husband were in a pretty bad car accident, sheared off the side of the van, and left her leg in really bad shape. They have a four-week-old baby, and she went in for the second set of surgeries this week. They repaired from the knee down, and the knee in particular, they had a hard time finding pieces to be able to call it a kneecap again and whatever. So it's been a tough time, but just be praying that she continues. It's going to be a long process of recovery. The doctors are saying it's going to be very difficult. She's got a lot of work ahead. On top of that, we want to be praying for Pete and Donna Buck. You may remember them. They moved to Florida. Now remember, we have another set of Bucks that moved to Florida as well, Jeff and Rachel. This is not Jeff and Rachel, okay? So make sure you get your Bucks straight here. But Pete and Donna's son passed away about a week ago. He had an overdose a while back and finally succumbed to the results of that. So be praying for Pete and Donna during a time of adjustment. He had a year and a half old baby and just a really tough time for them to be going through that. So would you join me right now as we pray for these people? Father God, I'm grateful to you that we have this chance to come together as a family and lift up people that are hurting. Think of Katie this morning. We think of the Bucks and the heartache that they're feeling, the struggles they're feeling as they go through difficult times. And God, I know there are other people here today that are going through things that are literally shaking the foundation of their families and the foundation of their lives. And today we lift all these people and these things up to you. We realize that when we walk in to church on Sunday, we may have a smile on our face and look pretty good, but on the inside, our lives can be sometimes just plain cracking to pieces. And we know that we're here today to be there for each other, and that you are always there to comfort us and to guide us along the way. And so we pray for that you will provide that guidance. Father, as we dive into your word today, we pray that we'd have a clearer understanding of how we can become the very best version of us that you desire. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God, thank you for how you've challenged us. Thank you for the words that you've given us through the songs, through Dennis, through each other. We pray that you give us the courage to dream the dream that you dream for our lives. We want to honor the design that you had when you made us. And when we give our lives to you, we want you to be happy with what you have and what you're making. We want to work alongside of you. So every person in this room, Lord, we pray that you would make it easy for us to follow you through this week to make the changes that you desire. God, you will do the work. We just want to work along with you. Thank you for believing in us and giving us hope.